I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 1. Just read a couple of verses there. Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers. Then skipping down to verse 6. And Jesse, the father of David the king, and David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph. Then verse 17. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. I want us to look for a few moments at verse 1. Kind of the first lines of Matthew's gospel. Let's do an exercise briefly. See if you recognize famous first lines. Okay? I want to read a couple of first lines and you tell me the novel. Okay? We'll begin with something easy. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. It was the epoch of unbelief. It was the epoch of incredulity. It was the season of light. It was the season of darkness. It was the spring of hope. It was the winter of despair. How many of you guessed A Tale of Two Cities by Dickens? Okay, a couple of folks. Let's try another one. Happy families are all alike. Every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. Now, this one is really from out of town. Anna Karenina, okay, Russian novelist, Tolstoy. All right, one or two more. Opening line, call me Ishmael. Moby Dick. Yeah. Lastly, it is a truth universally acknowledged that a single man in possession of great fortune must be in want of a wife. Jane Austen, Pride and Prejudice. Okay. So Matthew begins his gospel in what seems to be, often needless detail. We stumble over the names. But I do want us to look at the first two names given in the lineage or the genealogy of Jesus. Matthew 1, verse 1, the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ. Here's his genealogy, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Let's look at those two just briefly. First of all, the son of Abraham. Why does Matthew, himself a Jew, a son of Abraham, begin here? Begin with Abraham. Well, Abraham was the great ancestor of Israel. That provides the family, the background, the lineage of Jesus. And it becomes of significant importance with declaring that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised Savior of the lineage of Abraham. He's a child of Abraham. And he's also the Messiah. To understand the gospel, Matthew sends us back to Genesis 12. It's almost like some kind of Bible drill here. Who can find Genesis 12 from Matthew 1? Especially in verses 2 and 3 of Genesis 12. The Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. Now these verses. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will become a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. Now get this. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. All the families of the earth. This is where Matthew, a Jew, begins writing his gospel with that promise and appeal to Abraham. Matthew concludes his gospel, as you well know, with the Great Commission. And he says, go therefore and baptize, go therefore and make disciples of who? All nations. All nations. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew begins with that Jewish lineage, Abraham. He finishes with the Messiah goes not just to Israel, but to all of the nations. Does so in his gospel. So, Matthew begins his gospel with the promise of blessing to the nations. Then he shows in the next chapters how that promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And then it will be finished with the spread of the gospel through Jesus. Okay. The son of Abraham. Next, Matthew in the genealogy appeals to David, the son of David, by directly connecting Jesus with King David. Two themes are underlined that are brought out in the gospel. One, indisputable humanity. We're not talking about a robot. We're not talking about a Martian, some freak. No, a real human being. And also, it's clear-cut royalty. He comes from a royal, kingly family, David. God promised King David that his throne would last forever. You remember that? The Davidic covenant in 2 Samuel 7. It's not just while David was alive on earth or just for a few of his sons. No, it's forever. A forever kingdom, a forever throne, forever royalty. Even the Psalms from time to time reflect on this. On this kingdom, and they look forward when David's great son, David's heir, the Messiah, would come and would rule far beyond the meager confines of David's earthly kingdom. No, the great Messiah's kingdom would engulf the earth. All nations would be enveloped under the reign of David's son. And it is this kingdom, this Davidic kingdom, this kingdom of God that Matthew is about to tell us has been launched. Has been launched now with the coming of the Son of David. The kingdom of God, you know, it's not a place with high walls and thick gates. Guards on the walls, no. No, it's the rule and the reign of God Himself. Where he's bringing all numberless hosts, innumerable crowds under the rule and reign of God. We're even taught to pray, your kingdom come, in the Lord's Prayer. In part, it means at least that the darkness that's upon the earth will be scattered, and light, the light of the gospel, will go to every corner. Also, the last enemy, death, that came as a result of Adam's fall. Even death will be vanquished. Death itself will be destroyed, Paul says. 1 Corinthians 15. So the coming of the kingdom of God, again, darkness scattered. The light of the gospel grows brighter. And death itself is destroyed. And those who embrace the Messiah, the son of Abraham, the son of David, will live forever. Never, never to be tainted with death again. Amen.